Before the Spirit of God will come upon you, the heart has to be positioned to be sincere. Sincerity will affect your walk with God. The child is sincere. Everything he does, he's doing it sincerely. Sincerity is an identification of a childish spirit. Your Christian walk starts with the love of God. And you can never love God with all that you are, except you are sincere. Because only a sincere person can be corrected when he goes wrong. And anytime God is about to promote you to the next level, he will give a test of your sincerity. If you fail, he will abandon you and move forward, or remain there stagnated in sincerity. We make you not to walk with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to just go to an exhortation. It's actually an exhortation. It's an exhortation. And this exhortation is opportunity also to reply some of my critics worldwide. Praise God. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If you cannot defend the stand you take, then you are not qualified to take that stand. If you have a faith that cannot be challenged, then that faith is not worth holding. If you are a preacher and you are saying something that you cannot prove, then you are a false preacher. And if you get angry because what you preach is challenged, then something is also wrong with what you are preaching. So everything I stand for, I will defend it. Praise the Lord. Now I will just pick two of such people. The first one was actually an apology that he was sending, having criticized me in his privacy, because I didn't hear you when you were criticizing me, my stand. And that is from Brother Gbalagade from Osun State. Please listen to what he said. Brother Gbalagade.
"My father in the Lord, good morning, sir. After being sorrowful for many days, I contacted my friends that are very mature and intelligent, whose impeccable character and integrity cannot be impeached. People with clever spirits and amazing resources. People with ingenious plans, whose logic are almost irrefutable. In fact, they are brilliant reasoners. We talked for hours and came out with a firm resolution that I have goofed and I need to beg you to forgive me. Even if you are sinking, we are supposed to sink together. It is me that makes you an idol. Brother Moses did not say he is a deity. Many times, he often says, if you find fault in my sermons and teachings, call or text to correct me. Only you must correct such mistakes with Bible quotations." Unquote. "Sir, you know I angrily said, why are you making mistakes that requires revisiting often and often? I have forgotten that Brother Moses came from a community predominantly dominated by Muslims. And all he knows from infant to maturity is Islam with Quran as tenets. We need to thank God for choosing a man like that. The whole world needs to know he has a gift and anointing of a teacher. He has studied the Bible very well to get to where he is today. And for a man to admit that he had made some mistakes after seeing a superior revelation is a typical man that is worthy of emulating. And this same man went on internet to announce to the whole world that he wants to correct some of his teachings. Pastor Alu used to tell his hearers that he is not capable to interpret everything written in the Holy Writ. So, why did we need to crucify him? I repent in dust and ashes for saying Pastor Alu is above mortal that can make mistakes. My mistake is highly regretted. Please find a place in your hearts to forgive me. I know of some of God's generals here in Nigeria who will not do what Pastor Alu has done. They will instead look for scripture to embalm their errors. They cannot swallow their pride. What I have done is like biting the fingers that fed me. I have benefited immensely from Brother Alu in cash and kind to have acted irrationally. Sir, please forgive me. The reason for my behavior is not far-fetched. Too much familiarity breeds contempt. When an infant discovered a human being is inside a costume called masquerade, he will continue to dance closely to the masquerade. This was the sin of Aaron and Miriam. This was the sin Aaron and Miriam committed against God by pointing accusing fingers to Moses. And look at the gravity of Miriam's punishment, leprosy. Please, sir, I need a reply from you so as to be rest assured that I have been forgiven. Shalom.
Amen. Brother Bolagade, if you are listening to me, sure. You never offended me anyway. I don't get offended when you criticize my stand. You are only exercising your freedom of speech. Every human being has the freedom to accept or reject. And if I can stand boldly and speak to the whole world, I should also boldly receive the reaction from what I am saying. If I'm not in position to receive reaction, then something is wrong with me. I should shut up my mouth. Praise the Lord. Now the second critic is a sister who used to be here, but for whatever reason, I don't know, no longer comes here, but joins online from what we hear from her comment. Let's listen to Sister Onyinye from Aja.
Pastor has a way of sounding nonchalant about these things. I don't get it. This is not a game. This is about people's destiny. Then he will downgrade under other pastors who read and study the Bible. Then he will teach one thing, then come back and say it is now another thing. Yes, Pastor Moses or any pastor can correct himself. It is his personal right. But the constant habit makes it seem like he is guessing. He isn't sure of what he is preaching. He is preaching his personal conviction. I stand with the brother from Netherlands. He shows the teacher is not sure of what he is teaching me. You and I go school. We are teachers both in university and secondary school. Cast your mind back to this period. I will address any teacher who will teach something today and comes back tomorrow and say he is wrong. It is another thing. I mean, you gave me a formula for solving a problem. Then next time you are coming to tell me it is another one. What happens to the damage done by following that teaching? But how about where the damage done by following his teaching is enormous? There is no amount of damage control that will make a difference. Our Lord didn't do this. Teach one thing today, then change it tomorrow. Ha! Is Pastor Moses guessing? Is it because we're in this part of the world, members would have been suing him at will?
God bless you. Praise the Lord. First and foremost, Sister Onyinye, let me quickly correct you because I also went to school. If a teacher gives us a formula to solve a problem, if the problem is solved, he will never need to come back and change the formula. Formulas are changed because the formula applied do not solve the problem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I use this opportunity to give this exhortation that are titled The Test of Sincerity. The Test of Sincerity. I picked that text from Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14.
Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt.
How are we to serve him?
In sincerity and in
truth. How are we to serve him?
In sincerity
and truth. And when it comes to the New Testament also, our Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, made a similar statement when we come together to eat the communion.
Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
We are to eat the feast with what? The unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. What is sincerity? By definition, sincerity is the absence of pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. I repeat, sincerity is the absence of pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. When you don't pretend about what you do, when you are not deceitful with what you do, or you are not hypocritical with what you do, what you are actually displaying is a sincere lifestyle. You are displaying sincerity. You hear often statements like, the sincerity of his beliefs is unquestionable. That is, you have been tested and confirmed, and that statement of the sincerity of your faith becomes unquestionable. Apostle Paul is one that displayed sincerity after he found the truth. William Branham, the star messenger whom we believe is the star messenger of this age, the mighty man used mightily by God, has come up several times to correct his teachings. You will hear message believers, his followers, always they will quote you. When you give a certain quote, William Branham said this, they will ask you, was it before or after 1963 when the seals were supposedly opened? Because after that, he corrected a lot of teachings he had taught in the past when he now was given better understanding. Knowing he had followers, he quickly ran and corrected them. Hallelujah. One trait of a Christian life is the trait of sincerity. Until, hallelujah, amen. Until William Branham, we had a testimony that he had something in his car trunk, the boot of his car. He reached a police checkpoint and he was asked, do you have anything to declare? He said, no, at the checkpoint on the road. Do you have anything in your boot? And he said, he has nothing in the boot. And after he had gone for more than 1 hour or so drive, he had reason to stop and then open the boot for whatever reason, and he saw something that he said, I lied at that checkpoint. It will look as if he lied. His conscience was disturbing him. He had to drive back to the police checkpoint. He said, I'm sorry, I lied to you. I had something in the boot and I told you I didn't have anything. Come and see it. And then he drove back. Sincerity. Luther was faithfully and sincerely serving the Catholic system. But the day that he found the truth, contrary to what he had been believing and standing for, he changed his teachings. At whatever it will cost him, he changed his teaching. John Wesley did the same thing. Praise the Lord. Sincerity conveys honesty. Sincerity conveys honesty. A sincere person is also a truthful person. Liars are insincere. Insincerity goes with lying. But a sincere person will always be truthful in whatever he does. And only a sincere person asks for forgiveness. Because he didn't mean to offend you. If he says something to you and you get offended because he did not mean to offend you, he will immediately apologize. That shows he is sincere. And it's only a sincere person that can ask God to also forgive him or forgive her. Only a sincere person truthfully or truly repents. That's the truth. Amen. And therefore, only a sincere person will make restitution. You make restitution. Only a sincere person, only a sincere heart can discern right and wrong. And only a sincere heart is teachable. Amen.
Amen.
The church, like Israel in Egypt, always remember, it's a mixed multitude. When Israel, amen, when God sent Moses to go to Israel, go to Pharaoh, let my people to Egypt, let my people go and worship me. He was sending him to his people. But the Bible tells us that when they left, they were a mixed multitude. What was this mixture? It was a mixture of sincere and insincere people. There were the two groups of people. And these same two groups of people are in the church today. Sincere and insincere believers. Praise the Lord. That's why in Matthew chapter 3, if you read it from verse 7 to verse 10, I give you the scriptures. Hallelujah. Religious people, we are coming to John the Baptist for baptism. What did he call them? He said, you generation of vipers. How can a believer be a viper again? Jesus in Matthew 23, from verse 13, read it up to the end there. He calls them also hypocrites. Who was he referring to? Pharisees and Sadducees. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And every verse he was addressing them with such. Every issue he was addressing them, that they were handling such issues hypocritically, yet appearing to be religious leaders of their day. Praise the Lord. And those of you who could not watch Rapture Watch yesterday, this was the topic we handled yesterday. Sincerity, the test of sincerity. Brother Olumide, who was the questionnaire, asked him some questions. It included a question he asked: is sincerity necessary for a successful walk with God? That was a question he asked me. And the answer is still yes today. Yes, sincerity is sure, certainly necessary if you will have a successful work with God. And sincerity is an estate of the heart. If you are insincere, it is in the heart. If you are sincere, it is also an estate of the heart. That's why in Ezekiel chapter 36, the process of conversion from verse 24, if you read it on, the first place that God starts with, what did he say? Verse 25, from verse 25, what will he do?
Then
will
I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean.
from all your filthiness and from all your idols, uh-huh. will I cleanse you.
After the washing of the water by the word, the next verse,
a new heart also will I give you.
What will he do?
A new heart.
His point of interest, first and foremost, is the heart. A new heart. What happened to the old heart? The old heart is not sincere. The old heart is not sincere, the old heart. What happens?
And a new spirit will I put within you.
He will also change your spirit, because your spirit reflects the condition of your heart. Yes?
And I will take away the stony heart.
Because the heart that is stony can never cry, can never be convicted, can never feel guilty. A stony heart. No matter how you are talking today, go, he's looking at you, stony heart. I saw an armed robber that was being executed some few years back, condemned and being executed at the Kirikiri by firing squad. While others were going there, you could see that they were regretting the estate they found themselves. One was laughing and jabbing and laughing and laughing and laughing, and the rain, the first rain of bullets, he did as if he was dead. Then he lifted his hand again and began to laugh at the people that were shooting him. They shot the second one again. They thought he is dead. He laughed. No blood, nothing. The bullet didn't touch him. He was laughing. Amen. Until the person will get the camp power where he get. Pushed the soldier away. Did what he did with his gun, and one shot took him out of this earth. Praise God. Up to the last moment, he was laughing. No remorse. That is the type of heart such a person has. Praise the Lord. Preach the gospel to some people on earth here. They're looking at you. Whatever, do what you like. Pastor Moses, I know how I'm serving my God. Now they go on now. You go see, say, me, I go reach that heaven before you. Stony heart. And what will happen?
And I will give you an heart of flesh.
He will change it from stone to flesh. Flexible heart. And what will he do?
And I will put my spirit within you.
You see?
And cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgment and do them.
Before the Spirit of God will come upon you, the heart has to be positioned to be sincere. Praise the Lord. That is why on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached, the Bible said they were pricked in their hearts and began to say, that is convicted, their heart began to melt down. And they cried, men and brethren, what shall we do? And that is the beginning of a true repentance. That's why Apostle Paul called it the godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Sincerity will affect your walk with God. So Christ himself said, except you be converted and be as a child, you will never be great in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the child is sincere. Everything he does, he's doing it sincerely. Sincerely. Sincerity is an identification of a childish spirit. When the Bible in Matthew 22 verse 37 says the greatest commandment is what?
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God.
That is it. The first, it's even the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God
with all thy heart.
Is it with some of your heart? All thy heart.
And with all thy soul.
All thy soul.
And with all thy
mind. That is achievable only with a sincere heart. With a sincere spirit. And your Christian walk starts with the love of God. And you can never love God with all that you are, except you are sincere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because only a sincere person can be corrected when he goes wrong. Only a sincere person can take correction. Praise the Lord. And he asked me a second question. Olumide said, how does God test our sincerity? If he does, because in your walk with God, listen church, every faith, the faith, your faith, every Christian, listen to me and listen very well. Your faith, Christian faith, at one point or the other shall be tested by God himself. Your sincerity shall be tested. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And he has this test. He tests it in several ways. And why I say this sincerity can be tested. Listen very well. When we talk about sincerity, listen. You can be sincere, yet you are either sincerely wrong or sincerely right. There are some people that are very sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. Especially when it comes to religion. If you see some Muslims, very, very sincere. The tenets of the religion, they follow it faithfully. Very sincere. Buddhists, very sincere, until they even have monks. Roman Catholics, very sincere. They sincerely believe that the best way, for instance, to reach God, to reach Jesus, is to go through his mother. Very sincere. Amen.
Amen.
Until they have people who swear to the oath of perpetual celibacy, you decided that you will not marry man or woman just to serve God. I'm talking of those who sincerely make that vow, because I heard that some of them have children outside. Some of them can't keep to that vow. Even some of them are homosexuals. Okay now. But there are many there that went in there very, very sincere. Very, very sincere. And that your sincerity will be tested. Amen. Before God will judge you, he will test you. He will place everybody where you are. Praise the Lord. For instance, for those religion, he will test you with the preaching of the gospel. He will open the word of truth to you. Whether your eyes will open or they remain closed will now determine whether you are sincere in your decision or not. Praise the Lord. One perfect example we have of God's test of sincerity is the story of Abraham. When Abraham was told to go and offer his son, the Bible even qualified it, thine son, thine only son. Amen. Do you think God was interested in killing his son? No. He was testing his sincerity. Amen. Did Abraham pass? Yes, he passed. Because he actually was going to offer that boy as a sacrifice. And anytime God is about to promote you to the next level, he will give a test of your sincerity. If you fail, he will abandon you and move forward, or remain there stagnated. Insincerity will make you not to walk with God. Because once Abraham passed that test, God then said, now that you did not even, you You love me so much until you won't even wait to hold thy only son in blessing. He swore, I will bless you.
That's right.
Oh, glory be to God. There was another test that Abraham had. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Abraham waited until he was, his wife was getting to almost 90 years, no child. Although God promised there will be a child, even after he came down, according to history, 25 years after the promise to Sarah, the child did not come. And when the waiting period was too much, there was a meeting between Abraham and his wife on alternative way of having a child. And according to the record, Abraham did not argue with Sarah. He accepted Haggai, the maid, and slept with her. Now, there's going to be a test whether Abraham was actually eyeing that girl before, or he actually did it because Sarah advised it. And since it is Sarah, he does not reject her advice. Sincerity is going to have a test. So, immediately the maid took in, we know the story. She started carrying body. I'm going to be the madam now. You don't get a child. Now me go be madam. Sarah say, hey! God will judge between me and this woman. And decided she should leave the house. Drove her away, you and your pregnancy, get out of this house. And the Bible says Abraham was sad. While he was angry, God came and spoke to him. Why are you angry? Nobody said, I tell you, say, make you go into her. And the same Sarah said, send her away. Say, you always obey her. So, oh yeah, a test of sincerity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Can God test you? Yes. See the various ways he tested us. I'll just list some of them because of time. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, from verse 1, what did he say?
If there arise among you a prophet.
See, if there arise among you a prophet.
Or a dreamer of dreams.
Or a dreamer of dreams.
And giveth thee a sign or a wonder.
And that prophet prophesy come to pass exactly as he says.
And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Whereof he speak unto thee.
And then after that.
Saying, let us go after other gods.
He begin to preach false unscriptural doctrines to you.
Which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto
this
the words
of that
prophet.
This is not said the Lord. He said, do not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. This is the reason why God is using that type of person among you.
For the Lord your God proveth
you. He is here to prove you.
To know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Okay now.
Amen.
So all of you that are following, going to bride assembly, going to bride assembly, God will give you a test to know whether it is the prophecy, the gift you are following, or truly you love God from your heart and you saw him here. That's why you are here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 and verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 and verse 19, there's another one there.
For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you.
He said there are divisions among you.
And I partly believe it.
Yes.
For there must be
now,
also,
this is a principle now. Verse 19, listen very well.
For there must be also heresies.
There must be heresies. People who cause confusion among you.
That they which are approved may be made manifest.
So that the sincere people who are approved, amen, people who really have the right focus may be made manifest among you. And every church shall undergo this test. This ministry underwent that test sometime in the year 2020. Last year. When certain actions were taken against certain minister in the church, and when we are watching all some of you, we are doing in social media in response to that. That was a period many of you proved your immaturity, because one state of a display of the greatest level of lack of wisdom, immaturity, foolishness and stupidity is that you hear two people are quarreling, you hear from one person and you make conclusion. You are foolish. Anytime somebody is reporting someone to you, collect it and keep one side. Go and find out from the person he is fighting with, or the person is reporting, before you make a conclusion. And don't assume conclusion. Don't assume it. Don't use your knowledge of that person he is talking to make conclusion. I know he will do it because I know he has been doing it. This case today may be different. Learn to listen. And it happened in this ministry. And we were watching Facebook. There are some people that stop coming to church because of that. There are some faces you are not seeing again. It is because of what happened last year. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some, even they are like real. Jesus Christ spoke about John the Baptist. He said, "Where did you go out to see? Did you see a reed shaking with the wind? If wind blows, it blows this way, it goes. It blows this way. There are some that we are seeing in the church here that we are surprised they are here. Because the way they were sounding through the social media, we were not expecting them to be here. You are like a reed shaking. It's what I blow you out to blow you in. No stand. You have no stand. When we see you here, we look you and laugh with a laugh. See this one, no stand. Very soon now, Islam will come, blow you, shoo, Allahu Akbar, you go follow. This one will follow. Amen. No stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they were a test for the sincerity of the children of Israel in the wilderness. With all the vindication of the call of God for that ministry to bring them out from bondage to freedom, there was a Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, leaders that rose up and did the politics, and some were for them and some were for Moses. It was so that those who are approved will be made manifest. Praise the Lord. That is why also people ask in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says after 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed again for a short season from the bottomless pit. People ask, why will he be loosed? Why will God lose him again? The reason is, for 1,000 years, there are people that were born and they did not face any challenge from Satan. All they knew was the rule of Jesus Christ, the righteous rule. They didn't know anything called temptation. But God knows everybody's heart. You are following Jesus now and obeying the law because you have not had another gospel yet. So he will release the tempter to tempt. And there will be people that will follow Satan after that. So that those who are approved may be made manifest. And so that when you will be judging them, you will know why he is judging you. Yes, God can test us. And one of the ways he tested them in the wilderness is stated that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 3. That is one of the ways he tests his people.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee.
Yes.
These 40 years in the wilderness.
Yes.
To humble thee and to prove thee.
What is the reason?
To humble thee.
He led them these 40 years. A journey that is supposed to be 40 days. Took them 40 years. What was the reason?
To humble thee.
To humble you.
And to prove thee.
To prove you. Prove your sincerity.
To know what was in thy heart.
So that they will know what type of heart. Sincere or insincere heart.
Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
40 years. 40 years. And many did not reach the promised land. Everybody manifested what type of mixture you were. Because they were a mixed multitude. Sincere or insincere people. There were people that their hearts were still in Egypt. They still preferred to worship the gods, idols of the Egyptians. At the slightest opportunity, that crowd was made manifest. Aaron, Aaron, we don't know about this Moses. We don't know about this Moses. You don't know about Moses through whom the Red Sea parted in the history of nature that's never been heard of. Before your eyes, Pharaoh and his armies were destroyed by the same route that you escaped. Oh, glory be to God. And all the visible presence of God, pillar of fire in the night. Enter message believers. No picture. It was not seen by a negative of a photographer. It was physical. Pillar of cloud in the daytime. Physical. God's presence was physically seen. Kai, these children of Israel, there are something else. Yet, they were longing for what they were eating in Egypt. Egyptian food. Cucumber and garlic. Hey! Make us gods. Make us gods so that we will worship. Praise the Lord. None of them entered the promised land. They received their judgment. They were insincere. No insincere Christian will go to heaven. None. One of the ways he also tests us, he uses delay in answer to our prayers. Some of us, you will pray, 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 pray. All you will hear is, I have done it. It is done. 1 year pass. 2 years pass. 1 year pass. 2 years pass. Some, they will say, are you sure it is God that talked to me? Then they begin to go some other places. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Job said, see the sincerity of Job. It was Job's sincerity that was being tested. For doing nothing, remember that God himself could give a testimony of Job before Satan. Can God give your own testimony before the enemies, before the whole world, that you are a sincere child of God? Hey, Satan, where did they come from? He say, I'm coming from to and fro. Now, I don't get an address. You know, I don't have an address. And he say, that to and fro there is telling him about his ministry. From the discussion that went on, he said, I'm going up and down now doing my ministry. My ministry is temptation. My ministry is, you know, I'm a tool in your hand to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know my ministry now, God. All those who say they love you, they love you, they love you. I know what to do to make them deny you so that they will follow me, go where they go. That's my ministry, to and fro. Then God will say, have you considered my servant Job? You don't reach that side. There is somebody I can prove on earth here. used to prove his sincerity. He's not serving me because of the wealth he has, because Satan say, when you cover him with protection, look up, that means he has gone that side. It did not work. Because there was a special protection around Job by the sincere way he has been worshiping God. Listen, church. Job, every time he will go and offer sacrifice for himself and even offer sacrifice for his children that were not even living with him, in case they have committed anything, let the blood of this animal also atone for their sins. He was so honest. Job was described as a just man.
That's right.
So sincere in serving God. Amen. Listen, your testimony may be the same way. You are always doing dry fasting. You are always in the church. You are always this, anywhere. You are found everywhere doing things that the eye can look at you and say, you are a true Christian. But church, listen. That attitude will be tested. That sincerity that we all know you shall be tested. And God himself will allow you. That is the reason why he allows us to go through certain trials. The trials achieve two things. The trial of your faith. When your faith is tried, it sometimes, because it achieves two things, it will make you to get more rooted. Temptations and trials of a believer gets you closer to God. Whereas some, those trials and temptation will drive them away from God. So God himself will allow such trials. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job's wealth one day swept away. And they came and told him, all your children don't die, yo. Everything, see what happened. Amen. So some of these things that we call natural disasters, some of them are Satan at work to cause destruction. And when you expect Job to fall down and say, upon how I have been fasting, upon how I have been serving God, upon how I have been killing my animals, shedding blood here, God, where are you? Why are you folding your hands there and looking at me and I'm suffering all this? No. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. He fell down, worship the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey! And so Job said, even if God slay me, yet will I trust him. My relationship with God is for better, for worse. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And when they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, do you know the punishment is that you'll be thrown to the furnace of fire? They looked at a king that had power over their lives to take their life at will and told him, we will not bow to this your image. But we know that our God will save us. But even if he doesn't save us, we will enter that fire. That is the test of sincerity. What is the test? The test is not in their facing Nebuchadnezzar and saying that, oh, the test is he got stood still and allowed them to be thrown into the fire. It was at the end of the fire that he was waiting for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that was the test of their sincerity. I give you another example. Orpah, Ruth, and Naomi. We know the story, the book of Ruth. Naomi has lost all she went to Moab with. And now she had to return empty hand back to Israel when God visited Israel. She had two sons who had wives, but the wives became widowed. The two sons died, their husbands died. And now it is time for them to go back. Praise the Lord. Naomi wanted to go back, and the two women were following her. Amen. We know the story. You can read it from verse 1 up to verse 18. Just keep reading it. It's an exhortation I'm giving you. We know the story. Naomi preached to them and gave them reason to go back. The first time he spoke, in fact, the one that spoke loudest was Orpah. No, I'll follow you. I was crying. I'll follow you. I love you. Mama, my mother-in-law, forever. I love you. Ruth too. Mama, I love you. But they were a mixed multitude. This love that they are telling Naomi shall be tested. They move forward again, and Naomi now gave better reason for them to go back. Very reasonable reason. Why will you follow me? At this my age, will I have children? Even if I have children, will you wait until they grow to become marriageable age to marry you? What you are doing has no sense in it. There is no need. Don't worry. It is not you God is dealing with. It's me God is dealing with. Go back and continue your life. The Bible says, amen. Orpah went and with tears in her eyes. Inside her heart, she was rejoicing. But tears were coming out of the eyes. That means your tears or your facial expression is not evidence of the condition of your heart. While I'll be looking at your tears, God is looking at your heart. Because you can be smiling and telling me, I love you. Pastor Moses, I love you. Inside your heart, God is hearing, I hate this man. I hate you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And kissed her and went back. Praise the Lord. But the sincere one who started that statement, started with the statement, he said, wherever you go, I will follow you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Where you die and buried, there I will also die and be buried. She stressed it further in this other second temptation. To let you know that she meant, she was resolved, she meant it. And every stage of your trial is to either make you, give you reason to go back, or give you reason to continue. And you only have reason to continue if you are sincere with your resolve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because like the children of Israel in the wilderness, that was also Lot's wife. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. The revival was going on, and you thought they were following. You thought they were following. They were not following, oh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They were not following, oh. They are just following the crowd, oh. What their heart is. Every time. This is my husband. Every time, God is saying. God is saying. God is saying. But I will follow now. They say, I must obey my husband. They say, I must obey my husband. So you are seeing her inside the church. You are thinking she's one of the members of the women fellowship. You don't know that she's coming not because she wants to serve God, but to please her husband. And if that is your estate, your worship is in vain. God does not accept such worship. And that is why I am against any man forcing his wife to follow you to your place of worship. You are only playing religion. Do everything to make your wife, your spouse, your husband, or your wife to see what you have seen and make a personal conviction. If not, you'll just be packing along a hypocrite. And we are to serve God without pleasing men. You are to serve God and God alone. That is the faith that will be accepted by God. God does not accept religion, faith. Faith, religion, religion, religion. God does not. And if anybody tells you, how can I be going to church, one church, and my wife is going to another church? Whoever gives you that counsel just want to destroy your marriage, nothing more. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do something to make your faith attractive to your wife, to your husband. Not lordship. You must. You do that only to children, to show them the way, so that when they grow, they have their independence. They will not depart from it. But for your wife, she must see what you see. If not, her faith is not accepted. The Bible says, anything that is not of faith is sin. The Bible says so. Praise Master Jesus. We were following and following, and before you know what, we were looking back. Lot's wife. Amen. Amen. And permit me to reply, Sister Onyenye. She's like Lot's wife. Amen. Sister Onyenye is trying to look for a reason to go back to her vomit. She's setting the ground, the platform, so that when you meet her in the estate that she is now, she will say, it's because I have found out that church that I was attending, they are not even sure of what they stand for. That is why I am wearing trousers. I am painting my face. Go to her Facebook. Maybe she will delete it because she may be hearing me now before the end of the day. We have seen it, oh, we have seen it. Because we wanted to be sure of who is this person that is criticizing me with so much vehemence, so that maybe I have stumbled her faith so much. But when we notice how worldly you have become, then we categorize you as those insincere people that came here. You came here and you masqueraded yourself as a believer of what we are preaching, but your heart was not sincere enough. That's why you stopped coming to church and you went back to your vomit. You are looking for a reason now to justify your fallen estate. And wow, you are now using the fact that Pastor Moses is changing formula. Pastor Moses is unstable. If it is abroad, you will sue me. And it is because you are not even learned enough that civil law permits you to sue me even in Nigeria. Amen. If I mislead you, you can sue me. I know of somebody who sued a Christ embassy when a worker stole money in their office and then went and donated the money to Christ embassy. The office sued the Christ embassy to return their money for them, and Christ embassy returned that money. Praise the Lord. If I mislead you to cause you any form of harm because you trusted in me, Onyenye, go to court. And anybody, the likes of Onyenye, go to court and prove what danger, what harm you had as a result of my teaching. You go and show them whether I force you not to wear trousers. You go and show them whether I force you not to paint your face and wear those earrings. I only told you what I believed, and you followed me. We shall prove it before the judge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You had the option to go to churches that wear earring and wear trousers. You decided to come here instead. If anybody is to sue, I'm the one to sue you. Because you deceive me to believe you that you are my sister. Meanwhile, you were not. Praise God. I hope I'm not offending anybody. Hallelujah. You fell into the category of Demas. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, made that statement.
For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world.
That is the emphasis. And he departed to where?
And he's departed unto Thessalonica.
Some of them departed from here and they went to Sele. Some departed from here and they went to Ladipo. Some departed from here and they went to Okeafa. Isolo. But if you stay with this house, I'm hungry, go, why are you? And they left. Meanwhile, they were ministers that were following us here and supposedly four front ministers, some of them carrying microphone here. And we thought they were part of us. But when we began to lay curse on any minister that we charge anybody before praying, directly or indirectly, merchandise your gift. What if we stay here? They should go die of hunger. Because the reason why they are in the ministry is to have food to eat. Insincere. One of them that spent so many years here and has opened his own shop. I had him in the, what did they call it? What do you call this? Facebook of his ministry. To justify why he has left here. To make it look as if that is the reason why he left here. As if he disagreed with us. That is why he left here. He said, don't mind those who say once you are saved, forever you are saved. Nothing like that though. There's nothing like that though. He was here carrying microphone and supposed to be a minister, even ordained here. He said again, don't mind, because him and his wife want to open ministry. He want to justify the reason why him and his wife are the trustee for his ministry. He want to justify the reason why only him and his wife are owning that ministry. He said, don't mind this one saying that a woman cannot be pastor. Woman cannot preach. What of Deborah? What of why did God give the woman so much anointing? Now listen, it's not that is what he believes. Oh, he's not preaching that he believes that. Oh, as if he's changing his revelation. No, it's insincerity. He's not even a preacher. He cannot preach. He knows nothing about the mystery of redemption. He wants to let you know the reason why he opened that shop. So that you think that is the reason. As if he disagreed with us. You are insincere. While you were here, why didn't you meet me privately or publicly and challenge that teaching? You are insincere. Not one time. You were even preaching it. You were echoing it. You were saying the exhortation. You were repeating what I was repeating. Meanwhile, you were repeating it so that you will have a chance to be eating food here. When the road blocked, you left to go and look for food somewhere else. You are insincere. Demas. But the Bible says about the love of money. What does it do?
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
The next statement.
Which were some coveted after.
Which were some coveted after. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse
10.
Verse 10. Go ahead.
Which were some coveted after. They have erred from the faith.
They err from the faith. Doing what?
And pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Piercing themselves through with many sorrows. They are their faith, the extent of their heart, their Christian faith, their testimonies. Was that not the condition of Gehazi? He ended up with leprosy. A gift that Elisha rejected. Gehazi ran after it. There are ministers that have left here. Praise God. Hallelujah. And ran after the gifts that Pastor Moses rejected here. We rejected offering from cocaine pushers. They run after those cocaine pushers and pray for them for road to clear. Love of money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not every gift that can be accepted by a minister. Some gifts are a test of sincerity. A sister from France called Prophet Sunday and told him that he has land, she has property, and God said he should give it to a minister in Benin. Amen. Prophet Sunday said, certainly it cannot be me because I'm a prophet. I cannot have church. She said she has built the place. But I will tell Pastor Moses, maybe he knows a ministry in Benin that he will direct you to, who may need that property. He came and informed me. I said, tell her to call me. And I was already talking to a minister that is in dire need of a property in Benin. Suddenly, she called again another minister, prophet in this church. And the prophet said, I never knew you will answer me this way. Amen. I said, brother, is it not the same property that woman gave Sunday? Okay. So that they will not say, I'm fighting you. So what happened? Praise the Lord. And I never knew, self, that ever happened. We were all praying. All of you remember that day. Amen. And the revelation broke forth. It was in my office. All the prophets we had the prayer there. And I stopped and I went to him. I said, I don't understand what I am seeing. I even demonstrated what I saw. I saw you go like this. I said, I'm seeing something. I said, it means you are not stable. I said, go and pray. The next day he came to me, he said, because he was praying over that revelation. And God told him, thus said the Lord, that he should relocate to Benin. I said, the Lord told you. I said, who am I to reject it? What do you want? Want me to pray for you? Even the next day he brought wine. And before he was coming to me, his property don't move from Lagos already to Benin. We don't know. Praise the Lord. That gift. Praise the Lord. Elisha rejected it. On that thought, said the Lord. But Gehazi ran after it. What was the result? What was the result? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's exactly what happened. He became leprous. Church, listen. I'll continue to repeat it, for that's the purpose of this exhortation. That your faith shall be tested. Your sincerity shall be tested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister, evil is not every gift from a man that you collect. Single sister.
Professor.
Brother, it's not every gift from a single sister you will collect. Some of them are going to be like fish bone in your throat. So be careful. Amen. Oh, in this age, we have a group of people, they call themselves holiness believers. Their ministry is for holiness, holiness, holiness. Amen. Holiness, holiness. That holiness, the sincerity in that your holiness is going to be tested, because sometimes you are appearing in that type of dress you are dressing is to hide your poverty. Sometimes you are dressing like that, amen, for some other reason rather than because you want to live a life of righteousness. So a time, amen, is going to come when that your faith will be tested. What is righteousness? Amen. It's a right standing before God at any given moment. Obedience to the word of God. To what extent can you go in that obedience? It shall be tested. The sincerity shall be tested. Oh, the Pentecostal revival came up. He said they received the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost we receive. It is the Holy Ghost we receive. Speaking in tongues, mighty miracles, signs and wonders, manifestation of the Spirit pervaded everywhere. The whole church world, Pentecostals, revival galore. To test whether you actually love God or it's just the euphoria of that anointing you are enjoying and claiming you are serving God. God come down on a sister and tell that tongue-speaking, miracle-working, power-filled Holy Ghost sister. And a voice will tell you, remove your earring. Don't dress like that. Will you obey or not? It is a test of sincerity. So all of a sudden in this age, a holiness revival just sprang up and telling Christians how they should not dress like the world dresses. While there are preachers that are promoting worldliness, fashion in the church, another voice is telling you, you cannot dress like that. Sisters, you cannot, in this part of the world, you cannot wear trousers, earring, and all those worldly dressing that expose your body. Short skirts. Why will a sister dress and expose your sacred parts? Every part. Listen to me. Every part of a woman. Okay, maybe they don't know. Let me face the sisters. Every part of your body. Every part of your body, apart from your hand and your toes, can seduce a man.
That's right.
Depend on how you fling it. I repeat, if you dress and you expose your back, it sends a message through the eye of a man. If you dress and leave any part of your breast showing, it is sending a message to the eye of a man. If you dress and tighten your body, say they say, make I cover. Say, I don't cover. But you tighten and plaster cloth, showing all your curves. You are sending a message to the eye of a man. If you dress and show your laps, you are sending a message to the eye of a man. If you sit with short skirts inside church, you are sending a message to the face of eye. In fact, the eye of a coordinator. It's true. Praise the Lord. If you paint your lips, there is a way you will put something in your lips that when a man sees you, he will think you see his tongue doing like he's imagining how that man will be if he kisses you. And that is what you are doing. If you wear high heel shoe, your buttocks is going to show. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And after saying this, you still refuse to change your dress because you think that anytime you pray, God always answer you. You think anytime you shake head, you see vision. You know Bible, you can quote Bible. You have never slept with any man. Anyway, I've never slept with any man. You are the one Christ was replying to. That if a man looked upon a woman and lost in his heart, you have committed adultery already in your heart. But there must be something you saw in the woman. One person cannot commit adultery. It will take two to commit adultery. If you are the reason that man is guilty of adultery, the two of you will face the same punishment.
That's true.
Praise God. After saying all this, you still dress the way you dress. It is a test of your sincerity. Why will you be so sincere until you don't care the effect of the way you live on the life of others? Why are you so selfish until you don't care? I tell you, make you look me. I did go my own jaja. You did that, they look me. Did I say you should look me? But you know you dress like that so that they go look you now. You know now. After all, where you go, you decide the type of dress you to wear. You know you will not dress like that to go for interview now, because you know the person interview you will look. Amen. Your test of sincerity. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, we need to hear some things. Because the one test that God has given to the Christian leaders all over the world, amen, why they will not accept truth, why they cannot move further, is what Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 5. If you read it from verse 39, let's read it up to verse 47.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Uh-huh.
And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men.
Now listen from verse 41. What did he say?
I receive not honor from men.
I am not receiving recognition from men.
But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you.
You don't have the love of God in you.
I am coming my Father's name, and ye receive me not.
Okay.
If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
That's why Antichrist will come and he'll be accepted.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another?
Again.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another?
Again.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another?
Who made you bishop? made you archbishop? Who promoted you from pastor to reverend? Who promoted you to right reverend, very reverend? It's men that gave you that honor. Read on.
How can ye believe, we receive one honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
What is the honor? The only honor that comes from God is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. He made some prophet, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor. Any other thing beyond that, you gave it to yourself. Men gave you that honor. And not that men gave it, you were seeking for it. So that you will belong. Read on.
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust.
You say you believe Moses, Abi. Go ahead.
For had ye believed Moses?
If you had believed the Bible, the law of Moses, Pharisees, Sadducees,
ye would have believed me.
Why?
For he wrote of
me. He wrote of me.
But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
How will you believe the word that Jesus was speaking when you didn't hear the prophecy concerning him from the person you say you are following? Why? Because they love to sit at in high places in feasts, special seats. Go to some of these churches and see the seat that they prepare, where the GO and his wife sits. Go and look at the seat. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. May God help us. I said, may God help us. You know, sometimes while we criticize, you know, some of these people, there are some things we can learn from some of these religions. When I look at those monks that have forsaken every worldly thing and just following their religion the way they do, you know, perpetual celibacy, live a life of not owning anything on earth. And look, instead, we Christians are struggling to acquire everything on earth. Look at the Muslims. No matter how big, how rich, see how they are buried. Fold them with one cloth, fold them with one mat, and drop them there, even if it's the head of state. But when it comes to Christians, there are some of you that your mother, your father is still a mortuary, because you are still looking for the money that you will give an elaborate burial. When your mama die, your papa die, you they cry. We know why you are crying. It's not because you lost him. It's the money you'll be looking for to bury. Christians, why old men don't listen to our message? It's because they want to be in a church. One came here, come. He was over 70 years. He asked, in this church, if person die, how will they bury him? So that he will know whether he will remain here and will go bury me, or let me go back to my Anglican church. But what will they speak? Not true. Praise God. Go to these churches. See the you. Hey, to let you know that is their kingdom, and it's a king, and the wife is a queen, given another name, mommy and daddy, and they are there. Watch the seat they sit down. Amen. Look at me very well, Abby. Look at me very well. I think it was one of the police officers. He said the Lord told him to buy certain seat, very special seat. We put it here for some time. After we sat on it, I call him. I say, we don't sit on top, or we come out and we don't finish. How will I be comfortable to sit on that type of seat? That I am King Moses, I be servant of God. You are listening to me now. Come on, that seat. It does not portray the humility that Christian leaders should have when we come together like this. In your private office, where you are the managing director and chief executive, You can have anything. But when it comes to worship together, all of us, that's why the seat we are sitting, that is the same seat we are sitting on top here. Why should we, the ministers, sit on more comfortable seats than the congregation? Why? Amen. No, this is not the type of revelation that will change later. This one cannot change. So don't be afraid. It will not change. Watch me. People go into the ministry without knowing what ministry is all about. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The only reason why you cannot accept this type of gospel we preach is because you will lose the honor that you have if you stand for truth. And it is a test of your sincerity. We will continue next Sunday. Bow down your heads for 2 minutes. Take an inward look at your faith. How sincere am I? In line with the little I have heard today, have I been sincere? Have I been sincere in my walk with God? Oh, have I been honest at all in my Christian faith? Lord, help me to be sincere. Take away hypocrisy from me. Talk to God. Talk to God now. Talk to God. People will pray this type of prayer because you need to pray sincerely. Every sinner knows you're a sinner. Every hypocrite knows you're a hypocrite. Every pretender knows you're a pretender now. You know. Maybe you didn't know the effect of what you are doing. Lord, help me and remove hypocrisy from me. Remove hypocrisy from me. Help me to be sincere in working for you. Jesus' name we pray. Can we stand up?